Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Coming up, we're going to complain about baseball. The American pastime, unlike any other. I was talking some domes earlier, like NFL stadiums, as more and more teams seem to be headed that way. Rob on Twitter sends me a picture. He went to Nashville last week to see AC/DC, and the new roof stadium being constructed next to the old open air one looks like a tech company headquarters. Little hashtag no thanks. Michael says playing in a dome in Green Bay, Buffalo, or Chicago would be blasphemy. Kansas City is the next team that may want to play in a dome. And it's not just the owner saying, hey, I want to play in a dome. Wouldn't it be swell if we had a dome? They've got the lease at Arrowhead coming up, 2030. The Royals are also possibly looking. They play in the same spot, share parking lots. Chiefs fans, from what I understand, love it because the tailgating there is, it's all day. You know, this is tailgating lots open 8 hours before. It's like the thing to do when you're there. They don't need to be in an entertainment district. They park in that parking lot and they tailgate all day. But teams want to have more financial opportunities, especially around the stadium. Kansas City, Kansas is trying to poach from Kansas City, Missouri. And the options seem to be go somewhere else, build a new stadium, or renovate Arrowhead. And it seems that we have a idea what Chiefs ownership is interested in. So looking at that a little bit to wrap up hour number two, 888-710-4ISN. Robert's in Annapolis. Robert!
Hey, Voices. As always, thanks for taking my call. A lean sports night, so I'll just comment on things that have been commented on. Dome stadiums, you couldn't pay me to go attend a baseball or a football game in a dome stadium. Those need to be played out, as particularly
free
football.
Tickets to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. You're not going?
Well, the Ravens did win down there 1 year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No. Domes are for you fill in the blank. Anyhow, on your last night's comments about the rule of three, two egregious omissions, the red, white, and blue for obvious reasons, and Molary and Curly for the obvious reason. You commented on the five things you hate most. There's probably more than five, but you mentioned NFL pros playing in flag football. Can I take a stab at the other four, at least for today?
No. If you stick them to sports ones, maybe. I don't want to go.
They're sports. Okay, let me give it a shot. Doug Gottlieb coaching a college football, college basketball team while being a whatever he is, sports.
Gottlieb's on there. You're right.
I got to put that on there. The Pacers over the top game winning celebrations at certain times. What's the other one? Youth soccer coaches that want to keep score, and any call from Barry from Boston.
Oh, don't do Barry like that.
Hey, I want to shout out to Jeff from New Orleans, who has complimented me sometimes. If I've done anything to benefit his calls, if I could only do that for Barry from Boston, I'd be a happy man. But anyhow, I think that's all I got for tonight, man. But appreciate the show, as always, and we'll see where it goes, all right?
Thanks, Robert. Robert, Annapolis, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710.
Two or three times a year.
Again? 4-4-7-6. Let's get to Jason. He's in Dallas. Hello, Jason.
How you doing, my man?
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. The whole dome stadium, it irks me as much as it irks you, I think, but I don't think it's ever going to come to pass, because trying to put a dome on Arrowhead is absolutely ridiculous. Here in Dallas, we have a roof and we've had the Super Bowl, And you recall we ruined that when we had the chance to host the Super Bowl. And the last time we tried to open the roof was Monday night this past season. I think it was against Cincinnati or Houston, and sheet metal fell.
So, that's right.
And then they're talking about player safety because of weather, but yet they allow the brotherly shove to remain in existence for one more year. So I think that this is off-season talk, and it'd be hard to imagine that they would put a dome in Philadelphia or a dome in New York. I mean, the fact that they're going to put a dome in Chicago, it's like, I don't think that it's going to happen. I think there'll be a few here and there, but I think for the most part, the cold weather teams will stay the cold weather teams, and places where it's too hot to play football outside in the middle of September will continue to have the dome, even though we won't open the roof.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for the call. You know, even like Cleveland wanting to go to a dome, that bothers me. And I know the weather. I know they're right on the lake. It's tough. The balls are flying all over the place. Why do we want to get rid of all of that? Why do we want to neutralize this stuff? Why do we want it to be equal for both teams? Why do we want the coin toss? Which way do you want to go? Oh, the wind's coming that way. I want to go. Why do we want that? Some people do. I don't know why you do. I don't want it. I want the weather to be something. One of the best games I was ever in. It snowed. It was a playoff game. It was awesome. We call it the snow globe game in Green Bay. Now, driving home was terrible, but it was so romantic, the snow falling at Lambeau Field in January in a playoff game. I mean, there was nothing like it. Those visions are pierced into your brain. Now, there's also games you go to where it rains and you have to have the poncho and there's a delay and it sucks. It's not all romantic. I understand that. But I think with any conversation about the dome, this is not one that I'm logically having. I'm not presenting my points. You give me your points. Let's do a classic style debate, go through the pros and cons, and come up with a solution. I'm not trying to find what's best for business here. I'm lamenting the fact that the way that it used to be is going to continue to change. And some of these stadiums, you know, will probably never get a dome. Or it'll be 100 years before you see a dome in Green Bay. You know, but there's too many places that they're going now, and it's all just the same. It's not cookie cutter. It's top of the line. But if you look at the domes, without a logo on them, and you know those scoreboards they have, I mean, you could flash Tennessee and Las Vegas and L.A., and they all look the same for the most part. But now the creativity is, what kind of scoreboard are we going to put up? Are we going to put a huge jumbotron? Are we going to put the ring around it? What are we going to do with the scoreboard? I just like football being played outside. I like the weather having an impact. I like that Tom Brady's whole career changed because of a play in the snow. Is that what you want? You want to take that away? What if they have a dome? Tom Brady tuck rule. What happens there? How does the history of the NFL change if everything was just inside a box or an airport hangar all these years? I just want football to be played outside. But again, logically, they're willing to sacrifice that, which they may not even like in the first place, but they're willing to sacrifice that because a lot of these teams, if they build a dome, it can bring them a Super Bowl. It's like an unwritten thing. But even if they don't get a Super Bowl, they can get other things. They can maybe get concerts at different times of the year they otherwise would not have gotten. They can get March Madness, Final Fours, conference championship games. You could do a bunch of different stuff. You can take a building that you can't utilize. I mean, like Lambeau Field's open year-round, but there's an atrium, there's a Hall of Fame, there's restaurants, there's shop, but it's inside. So you could still go there, but you know, outside, the field's covered in snow. So, yeah, I'm not I'm not trying to come up with a debate class like this is the reason football should be played in domes. But the injury excuse, I don't know. I need to see some studies on that. I think that was, I don't know if I buy that one. Greg is in Michigan. Hello, Greg.
Alberto, it's the Warrior, Mr. Positive. I got to tell you, Mr. Cuomo thanks you from the bottom of his heart. We talked today, and I told him about what you did and what you allowed me to say, and he was extremely appreciative.
Why don't we cut out the middleman and me talk to Chris Cuomo?
Trust me. I've already asked him. I'm going to ask him again tomorrow or Sunday. And of course, I'm going to do my best. I got to take care of my Alberto and Carlos with a K. But you want to put a dome on one of the greatest stadiums in the history of sports, Lambeau Field? Did I hear that right?
Oh, I definitely do not want to.
Oh, my God, don't. No, it's such a storied past that you – no. Alberto, who's ever listening, don't do it. Just build another stadium somewhere you can do your concerts and all that stuff. Like we have Ford Field and Comerica Park 500 feet from each other. So, no, you just that's what you got to do. I got to tell you real quick. The Tigers are going to the World Series. No doubt about it.
But, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it, my friend. No doubt.
They're playing good ball. Can't deny that.
Oh, my God. We can't believe it here. Pacers versus Knicks. Who do you think's going to take it? There's no really momentum, but because they're playing at home at the Pacers, do you think they're going to pull it out? People are saying that the Knicks are probably going to win by 7 points. Cuomo and Stephen A. Smith. I think the Pacers are going to win. Who does El Bartle think's going to win?
I'm sorry, Chris Cuomo says the Knicks are going to win by 7 points?
Him and Stephen A. Smith were talking about it tonight on TV, and that's what they came to the conclusion. 7 points, Knicks, tomorrow.
All right, yeah. Well.
What do you think?
Go ahead.
Who do you think?
I'll answer your question, but I'm going to say bye.
Wait, you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Carlos, Alberto. Everybody, go for your dreams. Love you, Alberto.
All right, love you, Greg. Greg in Michigan, Mr. Positive.
Yo!
I asked Carlos that question. I said, you got $1 million on the line. This is what I like to do, to force myself to give an answer. But the $1 million is not on the line. It's a free bet. It's a free bet million. You cannot lose. You risk nothing. If you have $1 million, the scenarios are Pacers win tomorrow night, Saturday night, they win the series. Or Knicks win game 6 and win game 7. Or Knicks win game 6, Pacers win game 7. I feel like I can see that happening, but I also, we saw the Pacers go in and win game 7 last year. So maybe I just have that in my head. There's something about the Knicks keeping it alive. There's something about this epic Monday night game where they've already printed game 7 hats. There's something about how the get-in price is more than $1,000 to watch the stadium at the Garden. There's something about Knicks fans having some hope after game 5. Excited that maybe on Monday they'll have a chance to come back in this series. There's something about all that being so storybook that I have a hard time seeing it actually happen. So if I had a risk-free $1 million, if the thing I pick happens and I get $1 million, I'm going to take the Pacers on Saturday night. I think this is the longest series they've played now, because every other series was win, win, lose, win, win in 5 and 5. Now they're in 6. They do get it at home. The crowd will be insane. Or maybe I'll wait to determine what's going to happen after I see Tyrese Halliburton if he makes his first shot. This stat, I can't get over it. From First Things First today, they broke this down. In games where Tyrese Halliburton makes his first shot, he scores 22.9 points a game, makes 44% of his three-pointers, and 52% of his shots. The Pacers win 71% of the time. In games where he misses his first shot, he only scores 15 points, only makes 31% of his threes, only makes 41% of his shots, and their winning percentage is .600 this season. Those are wide enough gaps in between stats where it seems, and he missed his first shot, you could guess, in game 5, but these are wide enough statistics that you're like, does he change the way he plays based on his first attempt? If it goes down, does he have a level of confidence that can't be tested? And if he misses it, is he like, all right, I'm just going to go into pass first rebound mode? Very interesting. The other thing I do like, though, in favor of the Knicks is he did the choke thing. And in the series that Reggie Miller did the choke thing, they also lost that series. So there could be some storybook ending there. But I think if I had $1 million on the line, I've just seen the Pacers buck the odds so many times that I would take the Pacers to win on Saturday night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Apple TV Plus. That's where you got to go to watch maybe the most anticipated game of the MLB this season. Or was it even? What can baseball do to make 1 out of 62 feel like 1 out of 1? Is there anything? We'll discuss coming up on The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Dodgers with a 6-5 lead in the 7th over the New York Yankees right now at Dodger Stadium. It is the first time these two teams have met since the World Series won by the Dodgers a year ago in 5. A highly anticipated rematch of sorts. It is on Apple TV Plus, which is drawing enough criticism and concern in and of its own right. There's people wondering about why this game doesn't feel like a bigger deal.
Are you serious?
Some of it is the Apple TV Plus factor, I suppose.
Okay.
I think the rest of this series is going to be, there's going to be a game tomorrow on Fox, and then on Sunday night, they're going to play on ESPN. So all of the national TV partners are being served. Apple TV, which has select Friday night games, they are getting this game. Fox is getting the game on Saturday night, and then ESPN gets to have the game on Sunday night. So the next two nights, depending on what cable package you have or just the antenna, you'll be able to at least watch one of these games. You'll need cable for the second, and then you'll need Apple TV Plus at least to log in. I do believe these are available if you just log in. I don't think they charge you or you have to be a subscriber. I think you can log in. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think you'd have to sign up, but I think you can just log in and watch it. So less Apple TV Plus, more Apple TV. I believe I, not to look beneath, am an Apple TV Plus subscriber. Basically, I pay $90 a year for Severance and The Morning Show. Could invest my money in better places, but I would pay $100 for a new season of Severance alone. I would. Very good. Morning show, you know, it's good. The first season was the best. Sometimes that happens with those kind of shows. But this game is on Apple TV Plus, and Yankees-Dodgers, you know, on a night where there's no NBA and no NHL, and it may feel like, hey, this is the first time in a few weeks where it seems like there's not a must-watch game on my television tonight. Even the Indiana Fever playing tonight, Eye on TV, Caitlin Clark's hurt. So that's another missed opportunity. There was a UFL game on. There was a UFL game on, so this could have been the week that the United Football League cut into things. Okay? But that was experiencing a rain delay, and it was a mess, and that game on Fox tonight. You could say, well, why couldn't this game be on Fox? Yeah, they have it on Saturday, but shouldn't the MLB look to make sure that their premier games get in front of a premier audience? And are we overhyping what the series is to begin with? Okay, it's Dodgers-Yankees. It was the World Series, but come on. It's not like they play three times and there's 162 games. So my wonder is, with this game, if you look at all the games that are happening today, this is probably the main event. Dodgers-Yankees. From a national point of view, that you put everything on TV, what's going to draw the biggest ratings of the games that are being played? We got WNBA. We got some spring league football. We got some NCAA softball. We got French Open. We got baseball. Of all the games today, I think it's fair to at least assume that Yankees-Dodgers is the main event. But it's not going to be the main. If there was a hockey game on, this would not be the main event. If there was a basketball game on, this would not be the premier game. This would not be the main event. So with that being said, because I see some of the people in the TV industry talking online tonight that baseball's doing fans a disservice by not having this game on anything other than Apple, that what a missed opportunity it is to have this World Series rematch not in front of as many eyes as possible. I'm seeing some of that. Can you do that, though? My question is, can you take a game like this, one of 162, and make it feel like it's one of one? Can you do that? I don't know that you can. In baseball, I don't know that you can. There would have to be some storyline, certainly. World Series rematch could be. Obviously, like the rivalry weekend we just had, that was good. That got a lot of attention. And that's the other thing, though. Baseball's not just a one-game thing. Now, what if interleague play, you just play these teams for one game? Well, that would never happen. So if the Dodgers and Yankees only played each other once this year, well, then, yeah, you could make it feel like one of one. But if you miss the game tonight, you can watch the game tomorrow. You can watch the game on Sunday. You know, it's all just marks in the wins and loss column. It's not do or die here. It's not best of five. It's not best of seven. It's just the two teams that played in the World Series, brand names as they are, facing each other again. I don't think you can make a game have added importance in baseball. The places where you maybe could, opening day, if you had an opening night, if you made sure to schedule the World Series matchup, because it's going to be one way or the other. They'll play each other in the National League Park or the American League Park. Have that be the first series of the year. And then have that start the day before everybody else. Granted, you could run into a rain delay or whatever, but you could do that. Or another spot where this might be good is, and I say this all the time, but the All-Star break. They've got the Home Run Derby. They've got the All-Star game. They pick up again on Friday. If you could slip a game in there on that Thursday, you could maybe give another team an off day on the back end, give them Sunday off, and make their All-Star break different. But if you could make a game on Thursday, just one game, a return to the second half, maybe being the World Series rematch, Although that might be a little harder to schedule. Baseball schedules typically come out in the middle of the summer because these ballparks want to know, like, can we have other events? Can we do concerts? Can we do other tours? Can we do a soccer game? We want to know what the baseball schedule is so that the stadium can start planning. Football, it's just limited dates. That's why we can stretch this thing out as far as possible. Basketball and hockey come out, you know, not as early as baseball does, but baseball wants to know their dates. So you can't really do that. Well, there are matchups that you do know. Maybe that first weekend after the All-Star break, you have an interleague matchup like Yankees and Mets, or that's where you put Cubs and White Sox, or that's where you put the Field of Dreams game or some Little League World Series game or some other gimmick kind of game. I think they've done those that have felt like one of one. Yeah, if you go play where the Field of Dreams was shot, okay, that feels different. But can we do that without a gimmick? Can we do that without a gimmick? I don't think that you can. I don't think that baseball is set up to do it in that way. So the other thing I thought of was, how can you make this feel like a bigger deal? How can you make Yankees-Dodgers feel like a bigger deal? I thought, you know what would be cool? Because Rivalry Weekend was such a big success, and it was. And credit baseball for doing that. They made sure that every team was playing one of, if not their rival, on the same weekend. So Yankees played the Mets, Dodgers played the Angels, Phillies played, I think it was the Pirates, you know, Marlins play the Rays, you got the connection there, your Brewers played the Twins, Cubs played the White Sox, Rangers played the Astros, it all worked out. And attendance was as big as it's ever been before Memorial Day, at least in years. TV ratings were up, social views were up, which matters, I guess. So everything was up. Could you do a weekend where, because of interleague play, you could do this, where you have like a World Series weekend, where you have rematches of different World Series? Because like this World Series, or this matchup, is the most played World Series of all time. So maybe you do that. You do a team against a team they've matched up against in the World Series a bunch of times. I thought of that idea. I looked up what the matchups would be. I ran into a massive problem right away. You could probably guess. Because the Dodgers and the Yankees have played each other 12 times in the World Series. 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then last year. All right, so the Dodgers have the Yankees. Okay, let's find another NL team. How about the Giants? They've been in 7 World Series against the Yankees, so that doesn't work. How about the Cardinals have played in 5 World Series against the Yankees? The Braves have a common opponent in the World Series, that's the Yankees. The Reds have been to 3 World Series where they played the Yankees. So not every time these teams go to a World Series do they play the Yankees, but for the marquee matchup, it would be the Yankees. The most played matchups in a World Series, if you're trying to have some sort of World Series weekend, would be Yankees-Dodgers, so that takes those two out. Giants versus Yankees, well, we can't do that. Cardinals versus Yankees, we can't do that. Cubs versus Tigers, 4. They played each other 4 times. Yankees-Dodgers, 12. Yankees-Giants, 7. Cardinals-Yankees, 5. Cubs and Tigers have played each other in World Series 4 times. Okay, let's do that. Well, the problem with that is the World Series were in 07, 08, 35, and 45. 1907, 1908. Nobody remembers that. Okay, the A's can play the Giants. They played in 4 World Series. Yeah, well, that's the rivalry thing anyway. Okay. The Yankees and Braves played 4 times. All right, can't do that. Red Sox and Cardinals 4 times. Well, I guess we got that one we could do, maybe. So there's not a lot of good matchups if you're trying to say, like, one day maybe the NFL could say, let's try to do as many Super Bowl rematches one weekend as we can. They'd have a better luck doing that than they would. And you'd still be stuck with your divisions that you can and cannot play or rotate through. But they'd have a better luck doing that than baseball because, well, there's a lot of teams that haven't made a World Series. There's also a lot of teams that their main phone of World Series is the Yankees, and there's also a lot of World Series that were played a lot in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and then, you know, recently. But you could try to have as many rematches as you can I guess. We could have Rangers play the Diamondbacks. We could have Phillies play the Astros. We could have, well, we could have, and then we're running into repeat. We're running into repeat. Braves play the Astros. No, Astros are playing the Phillies. Dodgers are playing the Rays. No, Dodgers are playing the Yankees. Nationals play the Astros. No, Astros are playing the Phillies. Red Sox play the Dodgers. No, Dodgers are playing the Yankees. Astros play the Dot. No, see, we can't. Then we're getting Royals, Mets. But it'd be something. It'd be something. Maybe not every series. Maybe you find a different postseason matchup, but just some other way. My main question, thinking about this game tonight, how Yankees-Dodgers seems to be the main event in all of sports tonight, game-wise, can you make it feel like a one-of-one? You cannot. I do not think you can. And if you try to schedule it that way, the way the baseball is scheduled, it won't even allow you to do so. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. It's Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. The Thunder of Oklahoma City. They await the winner of the Pacers and Knicks series. Game 6 in that series will be held on Saturday night. It will be in Indianapolis. It's another thing that I watch that Pat McAfee is a part of. Did you see John Mellencamp was all mad about that? John Mellencamp. So Pat McAfee cut a promo. He was there at the game. I don't know how this guy, like, sleeps, McAfee. He does his show. He does WWE commentary. He is traveling all the time for his show. Does College Game Day. I don't know how he does it. But at one point during the game 5, Pat McAfee, or it was game 4, Pat McAfee was shown on the Jumbotron cutting a promo saying, like, let's send these SOBs back to New York. Let's get them out of here. John Mellencamp was at the game. He put a statement out. John Mellencamp. The Knicks-Pacers games have been very entertaining for anyone who likes basketball or sports. I attended Game 4 in Indianapolis. Hoosier hospitality. I was embarrassed when somebody, Pat McAfee, under whose direction I don't know, called out some of the people who had made the trip from New York to support their team and in turn support our team. Because he called out Chalamet, he called out Stiller. The audience booed these people. I'd say that was not Hoosier hospitality. One could only say it's a poor, poor sportsmanship. I was not proud to be a Hoosier, and I've lived here my entire life. On behalf of most Hoosiers, I would like to apologize for our poor behavior. I'm sure the Pacers had nothing to do with this smackdown. Come on. John Mellencamp. That's got to be a work. He wrote SmackDown in the text. That's got to be a work. So he tweeted this message. And it's not just like a tweet or not even the notes app. It's in white text atop a picture of him and his wife. And it's like really hard to read because he's wearing a white shirt and the words are white. And also, what is the reason for doing this? Why does John Mellencamp see Pat McAfee try to hype up the crowd and think, I need to say something? I don't understand it. Did he think he's going to lose his fans in New York because he was shown as a Pacers fan? Is he running for office there? Did he think he was going to lose their votes? Ooh, what the hell? So that's weird. That's a weird Indiana subplot to the whole thing. But whoever wins that series between Indiana and New York will face the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder, in this current form, do not exist if Paul George does not get traded from the Thunder to the Clippers. And Paul George probably doesn't go to the Thunder if Kevin Durant left. So what screwed them back then, their greatest pain, Durant leaving for the Warriors after he beat them, turned into Paul George, turns into a trade because the Clippers had Kawhi Leonard coming to town. He wanted a running mate. He gets Paul George. It was a massive package at the time. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari were two of the players in the package that we knew. But then there were also a bunch of picks. This was a trade that happened in the summer of 2019. So the summer of 2019, and it's showing itself now, and sometimes these are how long trades take to work. It's 6 years later. But SGA was in that trade, because he played a year with the Clippers. He's the MVP. They got a first-round pick in 21 that turned into Trey Mann, a 22 pick that turned into Jalen Williams. They had a pick with the Heat that's yet to convey. They had a first-round pick, Dylan Jones. They got a first-round pick coming up. They got a first-round pick in 2026. They still have picks. This was a trade that happened in 2019. They still have first-round picks while they have an MVP and got another guy who's all NBA and are on the cusp of playing in the NBA Finals. So, it's fun to go back and listen to various voices for how they broke down the trade 6 years ago.
And listen, I understand the trade haul is unprecedented, but you cannot look at the Clippers gave up that for Paul George. They gave up that for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
And before you know it, the Clippers got both of their guys for the future. Brilliant moves by Uncle Dennis. I want to see if I can be a part of the family.
He was playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers.
It's not like it's bare bones there, Linda. There's still a foundation there. And yes, it costs you Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari. And I think when you're getting a player like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, the picks are worth it.
Kendrick Perkins, who has been pretty loud during this whole free agency process, said, "I love it. Happy for the LA Clippers and Doc Rivers for pulling this one off and kept it quiet the whole time. WTF happened in OKC? That's the real question."
I don't understand. I got to hear more as we go on about why Oklahoma City would be so accommodating to the Clippers. For what? We're talking about a top 10 player in the league this season, and now Oklahoma City doesn't have him to accommodate the Clippers. That's going to take some, you know, digesting as we sort of filter through this the next couple of days.
That was a red alert sign. The Clippers would likely have to acquire a second star in order to land Kawhi, possibly using the war chest of trade assets they built up over this past year. And my reaction then and now is the same. There is no price that's too high for the Clippers in this scenario.
So that all looks stupid now, right? And that was Nick Wright, Jalen Rose, Bobby Marks, Michael Wilbon, Rachel Nichols, and some guy reading Kendrick Perkins' tweet. But that all looks stupid now. It was a massive package. It seems like when there's massive packages like this for the trade, it doesn't tend to work out. Rudy Gobert was another big deal. I think the Timberwolves are moderately still happy with that. We'll see how all those picks. Bridges with New York. Again, that's a lot of picks. But the Clippers, while they can look back now and say, what were you doing? They had a window with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and later James Harden. The Clippers with that team, and this was Kawhi coming right off of the finals MVP. The Clippers with that team not making even an NBA Finals, I would have bet $1 million. I would try to find any piece of money that I, any capital that I have, that they would have done something with him. The furthest they got was a conference finals in 21 when they lost to the Suns. And a lot of times they're a 40-some win team first round exit. I think if you're the Clippers, you still do that trade. You just hope it plays out a different way. I mean, it took 6 years before we can really laugh at them. Well, not really. I mean, we started to see the signs. The Thunder would do that trade 100 times out of 100 again. I mean, Paul George. Indiana and OKC, two teams that moved on from Paul George and because of that could meet in the finals? Wild. Bar Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.